I wonder, have you ever been invited somewhere and refused the invitation? Maybe you were just not interested in the event, and that's why you didn't go. Or maybe you didn't like the people that were hosting the event. Or maybe you thought that this event is going to be too kind of rough and common. You felt that it was kind of beneath your dignity to go to such an event. Or maybe on the other extreme, you thought that this event was going to be too sophisticated, too posh and fancy and over your head. Or perhaps you just preferred to do something else on that occasion. Maybe you assumed that you would not enjoy the event. Or maybe you thought simply that it's not for people like me. Another question, have you ever been to an event and realized that you are wearing the wrong attire? Maybe everyone else is dressed casually and you are dressed formally, and it can be so embarrassing in that situation. Or maybe everyone else is dressed formally and you are wearing jeans and trainers. I wonder, have you ever turned down an invitation, or worse still, just not turned up on the day because you panic and you say, I've got nothing suitable to wear? Let's look at two parables this morning. We've got the parable of the great banquet as recorded in Luke's gospel, and the parable of the wedding banquet as recorded in Matthew's gospel. Two parables that are similar but not the same. Two parables in which some people refuse an invitation, and in one of the parables, someone turns up in the wrong attire. So let's read together Luke chapter 14, starting at verse 15. One of those at the table said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." And Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I've just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room.' And then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" And then in Matthew's gospel, Matthew 22, verse 1, Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the banquet. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So the servants went out into the street and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, "How did you get in here without wedding clothes, my friend?" And the man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen." By way of an overview, I'd like to ask the question, how should we respond to these two parables? Remember, these are parables, not allegories. That is to say, we do not need to find a meaning for every tiny detail in the story. We are looking for one or more key points. Surely the king, or the man preparing the banquet, represents God. Surely the son in Matthew's parable represents Jesus. The banquet can represent Jesus' first coming to earth and his ministry, roughly 2,000 years ago. It can also relate to his second coming, when he will return in glory. And surely the invitation to the banquet must represent God's invitation to become part of his family and to become part of his kingdom, to come into relationship with God through the sacrifice of Jesus. So as we think about these parables, surely we must ask ourselves three questions. Number one, have I responded personally to the invitation to the banquet? Number two, am I wearing the right clothes? And what does that mean? And number three, if I see myself as a servant of the living God, what insights do these parables provide as I invite others to the banquet, as I am praying for my neighbors, my family members, and so on? Let's move to the next slide, please. The banquet was ready, but the invitees refused to come. In the Luke parable, in verse 16, we read, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses." And in the Matthew version, we read, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come." Now, at this point, I'd like to ask you a question. How often do you get invited to a banquet? Not very often, right? Not very often. Is a banquet an everyday occurrence, or is it a very special occasion? Of course it's a special occasion. And what a tragedy if God invites people into his kingdom to take part in a banquet and people refuse his invitation. And yet, of course, That is exactly what the Jewish leaders did when Christ came to earth. In John chapter 1 and verse 11, you know the verse so well, we read that Jesus came to his own, but his own did not receive him. In the two parables that we're reading today, the people were invited in advance. And then when everything was ready, the servants declared, "Come, for everything is now ready." And likewise, the Jewish Old Testament had been pointing to the Messiah. The prophets had prophesied. And just before Jesus started preaching, John the Baptist appeared on the scene, effectively declaring, "Come, for everything is now ready." He preached the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He said, "Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." And when he was asked about himself, he declared, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the path for the Lord." In our two parables today, the people were invited well in advance and then invited to come when everything was ready. And before the coming of the Messiah, the scriptures foretold his coming well in advance, with John the Baptist at the very end of that era shouting, "Make straight the way for the Lord." And then when Jesus starts his own ministry, he himself uses that invitation word, "Come." When he says, for example, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." And likewise when he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." But the point is that the Jewish leaders as a group and the Jewish nation as a whole would not come to Jesus. They would not accept the invitation. Of course, individuals within the nation, individuals within the group turned to Jesus, but as a whole, they rejected Jesus. They would not accept the invitation, and in fact, I would say that they wasted their invitation. What a tragedy to waste an invitation. And that leads us to our next slide, please. They went off and they wasted their invitation. In Luke's account, verse 18, we read, they all began to make excuses. The first said, "I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." Still another said, "I have just got married, so I can't come." And in the Matthew account, very succinctly it says, they paid no attention and went off. One to his field, another to his business. I want you to think for a moment about another parable we know so well, the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son, the parable I like to call the parable of the wasteful son. What did the younger brother do with what the father had given him? His inheritance. He went off and he wasted what he had been given. And in our parables today, folk have been invited to a banquet, but they are wasting their invitations and they are making ridiculous excuses. Let's think about those excuses for a moment. I mean, who would buy a field or a house or a warehouse or business premises without viewing those premises in advance? And you think about it in our world today, but in the ancient world too, it takes a while to buy real estate. There are processes that need to be respected. So when one of them says, I've just bought a field, I know I need to go and see it, is that a reason for not going to the banquet? Or is that an excuse? Likewise, who of you would buy a yoke of oxen, or more likely a car, a tractor, a truck, without viewing them first? How many of you would buy a car without taking it on a test drive before you even paid any money for it? Is this a reason, or is this an excuse? And when we think about the one who says, I can't come because I've just got married, you know, I was thinking that maybe someone would say, because you know, you get the invitation and it's like, you know, you're invited to the wedding, you plus one, you plus someone else. We call it a plus one. Maybe someone would say, I can't go to the wedding because I haven't got a plus one. I'm embarrassed to go on my own. But this guy's just got married. He's got his plus one. Why don't they just go to the banquet as a husband and wife and enjoy everything that's been prepared for them? And of course, this raises the question for all of us. What excuses do people make today for not taking the gospel seriously? Or if you know in your heart that you are not taking the gospel seriously, what excuses are you making? Let's move to the next slide, please. They mistreated the servants and killed them. The next few slides, we're going to have details that we find only in Matthew's account of this parable. So only in Matthew we read, the rest sees his servants, mistreated them and killed them. And of course, as we know, the Old Testament prophets were ill-treated and killed by the Jewish nation. John the Baptist was ill-treated and killed. And soon after telling them this parable, the Jewish leaders would ill-treat Jesus and have him killed. Let's move to the next slide, please. Again, this is a detail we find only in Matthew's gospel. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. And you'll see the words on the screen. The king burned their city. It is, of course, interesting to note that in about AD 70, the city of Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans. That is about 40 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. And of course, not only the city, but the temple, not only the city and the temple, but the religious structures were also destroyed at that time. But you see, God was doing a new thing and relating people in a new way. The old temple was no longer needed because God had opened a way through faith, through the sacrifice of Jesus, for us to come to the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. God was doing a new thing because the original invitees did not deserve to come. And that leads us to our next slide, please. Again, this detail we find only in Matthew's gospel. Then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Now, this phrase, they did not deserve, perhaps we can misunderstand it, you know? Why did they not deserve to come? Was it because they were bad people? Was it because they lacked something? Was it because they hadn't done something? The reason they did not deserve to come, as I look at the text, is simply because they refused to come. Do you get it? They did not deserve to come because they refused to come. It was as if they said, we've had a better offer. So we need to ask ourselves, what about us? Do we at times not come to Jesus because we think we've had a better offer? What about our neighbours? What about the people who live near us, our family members that we are praying for? Are there seemingly better offers out there that they are being drawn into? I'm sure that our world today offers many things that on the surface seem to be better offers. And then if we think about the older son in the parable of the wasteful son, the prodigal son that I mentioned earlier, do you remember that he refused to go to the banquet? Why did he refuse to go? Because God or the Father was letting in people that he didn't think were worthy, and he refused to go to the banquet. And I would suggest that we can say about the older son in the parable of the prodigal son that even though he had been invited, he did not deserve to go to the banquet, again, because he refused to go. But this is where the story gets really interesting and where it's such good news for all of us. Let's move to the next slide, please. Everyone is invited. In Luke's Gospel, in verse 21 of our passage, we read, then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. And then in the Matthew's account in verse 8, he said to his servants, go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. When we put these two readings together, both the Luke account and the Matthew account, we see that the king or the man hosting a banquet sends the servant to the streets, to the alleys, to the street corners, to the roads, to the country lanes. And they find people who seem to spend a lot of time in these locations. Perhaps some of them are even sleeping, dossing down in the streets, the alleys, the street corners, the roads, the country lanes. Or perhaps they are returning from their day's labor. Perhaps they are weary and dirty and dusty. But actually, that doesn't work, because when we look at the descriptions of the types of people, the servants are being sent to the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. They're being sent to bad people, and they're being sent to good people. I wonder why there is the inclusion of that word, the bad and the good, because of course Jesus tells us no one is good except God alone. The Bible tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Perhaps the master, that the king or the man sending out the servants, is using this term to say, in a sense, to the servants, go and invite people who you consider to be good or who you consider to be bad, but compel them to come in. Invite them to come in. Doesn't matter if you think they're good or if you think they're bad, just tell them to come in. Surely that is the message for church today. Surely this is the message we should be proclaiming out there in our community. Surely we should be going to anywhere and everywhere where people congregate, and we should be speaking to any kind of person and every kind of person. But think about it. If the servants were sent to all these locations we've just listed, the streets, the alleys, the street corners, the roads, the country lanes, if the servants were being sent to the crippled, the blind, the lame, who were living in these places, surely those people would not have been wearing wedding clothes or banquet clothes when they were found. And actually, I imagine quite a lot of them hadn't had a decent shower for a long time. They were dirty. They had old clothes, messy clothes. Maybe they needed a haircut and a good beard trim and so on. And as I think about this, you know, you think someone must have helped them. The king or the man who was inviting them must have known that if he was inviting people from streets, from alleys, from street corners, from roads, from country lanes, if he was inviting poor, crippled and blind and lame, he must have known they were going to need some help in preparing for the banquet. And I would suggest this, if you were inviting homeless folk to a banquet today, I think you might well do a deal with a hotel or a sports centre so that the folk can have a shower. And then you would probably do a deal with Moss Bros or Marks and Spencers to rent or buy all the clothes that your guests would need. But just imagine in today's world that it was on the news, you know, it's on the BBC News that some very rich person has organized a banquet, invited people to the Savoy Hotel for the banquet, but also paid for them to go to another hotel where they can have, you know, a haircut, a beard trim, a shower, brand new clothes, etc., etc. Imagine that all of this was being laid on, but someone refused to avail themselves of what was being offered. Just imagine that for a moment. Years ago, on a much smaller scale, I was invited to a family funeral. And as we were invited to the funeral, we were informed that it was the wish of the deceased and his widow that people should not wear black. And that included not wearing black ties. And so I turned up, dressed accordingly, but someone else turned up, probably hadn't read or heard or understood the message, and he had turned up wearing a black tie. We all congregated at the house of the widow before the funeral, and there the widow saw this man wearing a black tie, and she challenged him on it and said, "We've asked people specifically not to wear black ties." And she went upstairs and brought down a whole load of colourful ties and said, "Choose one of these." Let's move on now to our final slide. Because you see, someone in the Matthew account was not wearing wedding clothes. In Matthew 22 and verse 11, when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man was there who was not wearing wedding clothes. And he asked, "How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?" And the man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are invited, but few are chosen." Now, this parable has a double twist to it, you know. In both the parables, we have those who were invited first who did not deserve to come, those who rejected the call to come to Jesus. But now, in this Matthew's version, we have someone who seemingly has come, but is wearing the wrong clothes. What can we say about such people? How can we relate this to ourselves. Surely we have to say that we can only come to Jesus and truly enter his kingdom if we are clothed with the garments that Jesus offers us. Think of the prodigal son one more time. I know we keep going to the prodigal son, yeah? What I call the wasteful son. Think about the younger son, yeah? When he returned to the father, and the father gave him the best robe, a ring, and sandals. And he probably said, there's some hot water, go and have a shower first. I don't know, but I guess. And think about it for a moment. What would the father have done, and how would the father have felt if the younger son, being offered the shower, the best robe, the ring, and the sandals, said, I prefer my smelly old rags. I prefer my smelly old rags because they are part of my identity. Do you know what? This might sound absurd, but I believe that there are plenty of people today in our world who prefer their smelly old rags. They prefer their identity. We're not talking just about clothes, we're talking about habits and dependencies and so on. People who say, you know what? I don't want to be made clean by Jesus. I don't want to be transformed by Jesus. I like me the way I am. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. God is inviting us to the banquet, and we need to be wearing the clothes that only he can provide. In Galatians chapter 3, we read that in Christ Jesus, we are all children of God through faith. For all of us who were baptized as believers into Christ have clothed ourselves with Christ. Those who have been baptized as believers have been clothed with Christ. We have been covered with Christ. Remember Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, so ashamed of their nakedness, and first thing they do is make garments out of fig leaves. But fig leaves are not durable. They crumble, they break. So God makes garments out of leather, skin, for them. But now we who have been baptized as believers, we're not clothed in fig leaves, we're not clothed in leather garments, we're clothed in Christ. Clothed with Christ, covered with Christ, putting on a rightness or a righteousness that comes only from Christ. Because, of course, our own righteousness will not suffice. There was a guy at the banquet in the parable who turned up in his own clothes, and they were not good enough. Isaiah chapter 64 tells us all our righteous acts, all our own righteousness, are like filthy rags. If our own righteous acts are like filthy rags, then we need someone else's righteousness. And the Apostle Paul, when writing to the Philippians, says, my goal is to gain Christ and to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. A righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. And that, my friends, is the only way we can become right with God. So as we draw to a conclusion, let us ask ourselves again, how should I respond to these two parables? Have I responded personally to the invitation to the banquet? Am I wearing the right clothes, the clothes of righteousness that only God can give me? And if I see myself as a servant of the living God, what insights have I learned today in these parables as I invite others to the banquet, and as I even inform them of the new garments that God has to offer them. Amen.